ways. Them got to be in control days. Jump for a prey, yo, I'm headed out the doorway. But I want your way, Yahweh. From dirt roads to highway. You're showing me a beautiful view from this backseat. Red as lots of room, and I never would have seen it if I wasn't rolling with you.
Y'all give it up for, I'm sorry you guys had to look through a ladder. We'll put that on social media. Y'all give it up for Sanford McKinney. He's not just a fantastic drummer. He also edited that video. Now, how many of you guys wish you were there with us, right? Now, just a small disclaimer. If your child came home sick, the polar bear jump had nothing to do with that. If you've seen all these TikTok challenges, there's all these health benefits to jumping into ice cold water, they say. So I'm just leaving it at that. So, but we had a big time last week, and actually, we've had a big time since March. At least I have, since I took over as the interim. We've had connect groups, we've had huddles on Sunday night, we've had big nights, we had a senior high trip, we had a junior high trip, we had a sixth grade trip, we had wet Wednesdays, we had a Nokomi fall retreat, and the one thing that I am certain of after the last 8 months or so is that we got some awesome kids. You have some awesome kids. And I love, absolutely love being a part of a church that places such a high priority on our children and our young adults, like Cass said in his prayer. You know, Advent has always ponied up. They've always put their money where their mouth is, so to speak. We fund ministry, we staff it, and so many of you guys over the years have volunteered and just served in ministry, and it blesses me, it blesses the church, and most importantly, it blesses our youth. And while I'm bragging and thanking folks, so thank you for that, but while I'm doing that, I've got to brag on somebody. I could be here all day just thanking folks for what they've done over the years and bragging on them. But I wanna just draw a note, a mention to my good friend Keith McDaniel. So Keith came on as one of my adult leaders back in 2006. And back when we were still in the old youth room, which is the aerobics room now, and we had this big old green and red rug, and the adult leaders would, before huddle, we'd get around in a circle and we'd pray. And I remember he came in with his oldest daughter, but Riley was just a little baby, and he would crawl around while we were waiting for the nursery attendant to come and get him. Yeah, he was. And have you seen him? He's huge. He's a man now. He graduates this year. And how about our youth band leading us in worship? That's just so good, so amazing. But a couple years into being an adult leader and advisor, Keith said, he stepped in and he took over the youth praise band, and he has poured into them year after year after year, even though most people it's a daunting task because every year half your group graduates and you got to rebuild at the beginning of the next year. And so he has continued to just invest and just put a labor of love into that, and because of that, our youth have had an opportunity to see what it's like to lead in ministry. And we are the beneficiaries of amazing worship and youth group. And you guys were a beneficiary today and have been over the years. And so, Keith, thank you for your dedication and all your service. It blesses all of us. Now, I wanted to give you guys just sort of like a Cliff Notes version of what we went through last week, give you sort of a taste. I know some of y'all are your stomach's growling, and you don't know why. It's subliminal. I know I was at the Arlington campus just now, and they're having a big celebration afterwards, and there was food in the background, and I'm like, oh. But I know that I'm in T-shirt and jeans. It feels kind of weird to be preaching in T-shirt and jeans. If you guys will just imagine with me that I'm one of those... one of those hipster preachers from the West Coast that's a pastor in one of those production churches. And if you'll also imagine, help me out here, unlike most of them, I don't fill this shirt out like all. I think most of those guys pump a lot of iron. I got a dad bod. So just imagine with me that I look like them. And I think we'll be okay. But before I get started, I wanted to pose a, I don't know if you call it a riddle, what you'd call it exactly, but I want to see if anybody can answer this for me. If you're here for the first service, keep your mouth shut. Okay, you have 30 dogs and 28 cats. How many are hungry? All of them, like teenagers, right? No, that's not the answer. It's 10. Okay, let me back up, slow down for you. We have 30 dogs, 28 cats. How many are hungry? You have 30 dogs and 28 cats. What do you expect? Dad bod, dad joke. That's what you get. And for all my cat lovers out there, please don't get triggered on me. I love cats too. We got a cat at home we think the world of. But I wanted you to be confused. I wanted you to be in a place where it's like, I don't know if that makes sense. Because that's where we find ourselves most of our lives, isn't it? We hunger for things physically and spiritually, and we go trying to fill that void, that hole, with all kinds of things that really were never meant to fill it. I mean, you ever been like, you're watching TV, and it's like, man, I'm hungry. And you go off, and you're looking through the fridge, and you're looking through the pantry, and you get something out, and you take a bite, and it's like, nah, that's not what I want. You know, you just don't know what it is you want, but you know you're hungry. Well, that's how we spend most of our lives, right? And so I want to pose a question to you. I want us to enter into a moment of self-reflection and introspection. I want you to ask yourself this question and actually come up with an answer, all right? If you feel compelled to tell your neighbor, that's fine. They may not care, but you can tell them. But I want you to at least answer it for yourself. And here's the question. What do you hunger for? What do you hunger for? Now, some of you guys are like, well, it's almost noon. Love that chicken from Popeyes, right? You're thinking, some of you guys are going to go get chicken afterwards, too. They had a bunch of chicken over at Arlington. I was smelling that the whole time. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that kind of hunger. I'm talking about what gets you out of bed in the morning. What is it that motivates you throughout your day? You spend your time, your talent, your treasures on pursuing. Is it climbing the corporate ladder? You know, you want position, maybe title, more responsibility. I don't know, more money. Is it having a nice financial safety net? You know, you would like to have a big fat 401k, or you want to manage what resources you got right now because, you know, you want them to grow. And maybe it's you really long for a husband or a wife or a best friend or some significant other. If you notice, all these things are really worldly things. And I would submit to you that what you hunger for isn't what I was naming. That beneath that, beneath the surface, there is a spiritual aspect. Maybe what it was it wasn't about title and position. It was about a sense of significance or meaning or value, purpose maybe. And maybe, you know, you want plenty of money because somewhere in your head it's about economic, you know, stability, you know, and that'll give you peace of mind. And maybe it's not so much about a husband or wife or best friend as it is about being loved, feeling like you belong, experiencing intimacy. And so we pursue all these things trying to fill spiritual needs. You guys ever heard the expression that we're all born with a God-sized hole? Am I the only one that's heard that? Okay, good. It's kind of bright. Well, we are. And the absolute irony is that we spend most of our life trying to fill that God-sized hole with things of the world, right? We're like that toddler that takes the square peg and sticks it in the round circle and beats it with the hammer, right? It's not going in there, but we're going to make it fit because we know that if we just had that, it's going to fulfill us. So we're going to sand down the edges, and we're going to hammer it in there, and it's never going to fit. It's never going to fit like what God can deliver. Man, these are pretty far apart. So we find ourselves trying to balance. And most of us here at church, this applies to us. All right, we know the people that are out in the world, and all they care about is the world. And not all of us consider ourselves missionaries or monks or priests. So it's like that we had this idea that to be on this ladder solely, that's what we got to be. But so we kind of try to coexist somewhere here in the middle. You know, I try to be a good person. I keep the Ten Commandments. I'm not mean to anybody unless they deserve it. And, you know, or they get in the way of whatever it is I'm trying to accomplish over here. And, you know, I go to church, you know, every Sunday or at least on the holidays. And except for when I'm, you know, it's really tired. I had some better opportunity come up, right? Well, you know, I pay my tithes and offerings, and and I give to the church, except when I overextend myself because I really had to have this. And then we get to a point where we can't go any higher, right? We're kind of stuck. And we wonder why in our regular life we feel so, I don't know, just restless and empty. And it's like, well, I got that thing, but it didn't really satisfy me for very long. It's just, and over here we're like, well, I kind of feel numb almost in my faith, like I'm just going through the motions. God seems so far away most of the time. And so we're stuck. We can't go up any higher. We don't want to go down any lower. And I would submit to you that there was a young man that experienced the same place in the Bible. You guys have heard of the story of the rich young ruler, right? Well, the title says it all. I mean, this guy's got it going on. He's rich, okay? Who don't want to be rich? He's young. That's like rich on steroids, right? Those of us older people, we appreciate that. And he's a ruler, which means he has power and authority over others. He has prestige. He has notoriety. He's really got it all, the trifecta of what everybody strives for. He's also a pretty good guy. He's been keeping the Ten Commandments, and he's doing what he thinks he needs to do in his faith. But what makes me think that he found himself in that place where he's stuck is because if he felt great about where he was in the world and all that he had and good about where he was in his walk and his faith, he wouldn't have felt the need to seek out Jesus and ask him what he was missing. Mark 10, verse 17 through 22 says, as Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? But Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one's good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Yada, yada, yada. You know what I'm saying. Jesus didn't say yada, yada, yada. And he said to him, teacher, I have kept all those things from my youth. And looking at him, Jesus showed him love. He wasn't a bad guy. And he said to him, one thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. But he was deeply dismayed by these words and went away, what? Grieving. For he was one who owned much property. I'm going to be real transparent to you guys. I have never liked that verse. Honestly, I haven't. I mean, it's like, does it got to be all or nothing? Can I not have a good relationship with you, Lord, and still pursue all this stuff in the world that I know is not going to really satisfy me, but I really want it, and I think it might satisfy me because I'm different than everybody else, right? And so I just find myself in that place where it's like, Lord, is that what it's got to be? Matthew 6, verse 24 through 26 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. If you wonder what mammon is, it's money, possessions, fame, status, you know, whatever it is that you value more than God. You can't serve two masters. If I'm climbing this ladder, my back's to that. And if I'm climbing this one, my back's to that. And when I try to climb them both, you know, it's not, it's kind of like when maybe you remember back to when you're dating, maybe you're dating right now, and then the person you're dating, they hadn't quite got over their ex, and they can't commit, or maybe you were that person, I don't know. You can't serve two masters. You can't commit to something so long as you're trying to hang on to both. It says in Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's nothing wrong with having stuff or being wealthy. When Jesus said that it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and the needle was like a little door on the wall around the city, you know, where you just let a person in. If you had a small camel, you could probably get them through. had enough people pushing on the camel, you could probably get them through. But the point is that the stuff that I possess, the stuff that I pursue, the more of it I have, the more it possesses me. The more it defines my identity. The more I start to rely on myself, the more I think, I got this, God. I know what I need to do. And the less I rely on God. And that's what that's about. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. It's talking about pursuing the ways of the world. And Matthew 12, verse 25 says, but Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And I would submit to you today that if you find yourself divided like this, you're headed for a fall. I want to tell you a story. About 9 years ago, I felt God calling me to represent him in an area that I didn't feel like he was being well represented. And so I ran for office. Most of y'all know I serve in the Mississippi legislature. And during my time, I've been blessed and honored to be a part of some really big transformative things, changes for God in my state and even nationally. But for that entire time, I have had conflict. Internal conflict, external conflict. You know, I'm trying to do what's right for God. I look at it as an extension of ministry. Most of the time, I feel like I'm in mission there. I've led the Capital Prayer Group for 6 years, but I still think, you know, God, if I get elected, I can do this stuff for you. You know, if I make it to being a vice chairman, I'll have a little more influence. I can do more stuff. Actually, what I need to be is a chairman. And God, then I can do those big things for you. And so this war inside, this fight as to doing the right thing and then constantly doing damage control so it doesn't mess up my trajectory over here. Because at some level you think, well, that's what success is, right? In public service, you gotta climb that ladder, you gotta attain more power, and then you can get more done. And so you're constantly weighing, do you compromise, do you not compromise? And for the last term, I've served as the vice chairman of elections and apportionment and redistricting those committees. And my chairman got appointed by the governor to be on the utilities commission. And so, the ink was still wet, and I'm calling the speaker, lobbying him for the chairmanship, right? So I'm like, you know, hey, I know that Jim's gotten promoted off to that, and I really want the chairmanship. I've got the most seniority. I'm already operating in that role and been helping run the committee. And I'm trustworthy, hardworking. I'm lobbying. I'm hard. You know, I want that position. And he's noncommittal. And then January rolls around, and the committee assistant comes to me and says, "Hey, we got all these bills that are being assigned to your committee. Are you guys going to meet or what? Because you know you got to stay on the calendar. There's deadlines for everything." And I said, "Well, I'm just waiting for him to make it official. Let me go talk to the speaker." And so I go in his office. I sit down and I lobby him again. I'm like, you know, I'm gonna be dependable, trustworthy. I got the seniority. I even threw in the fact that I was being sued personally, along with the governor and the AG and everybody else, because they didn't like our redistricting plan, even though I didn't really have anything to do with it. I'm like, look, I'm taking arrows for it already. Let's just make it official, right? And he looks at me and he says, "It's not going to happen. You don't vote the way you're told. You know, they want you to be a good Republican until you are one. And when you take your oath of office, you say, I won't let anybody, you know, influence my vote or buy my vote or tell me how to vote. And as soon as it comes down, leadership tells you how to vote. And I always have tried to do what I think is right." And I walked out of that office so discouraged. It was kind of like, yeah, but that's what success is. That's what doing it right is supposed to look like, right? I'm supposed to get up here. And I just started to spiral. I was like, what's the point? I was going to have to qualify to run for my seat again in another week, and it's like, I don't even think I'm going to sign up. There's just no point in it. And I don't know if you're like me, but when you get in one of those states of mind, you kind of start doing that spiral, right? And then I'm like, I don't even know I've made any impact at Advent. 20 years of, what's the point? You know, what's the point of anything? Because it's just like, you know, even though God had given me some big wins and let me be a part of some amazing stuff, not even as a chairman, all I'm thinking about, well, this is what success looks like, and that road has been closed for me. So I was praying, and I was just, you know, I was in a dark place. And I was praying, and God spoke to me. And I know people, you hear people throw that around, God spoke to me. It wasn't like, Daniel, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. It wasn't like that. But he spoke to me. And I know some of you guys long to hear the voice of God. I'll tell you how it's happened in my life, because he spoke to me a handful of times. And maybe this is the way some of you have experienced it. And maybe God has spoken to you, but you just didn't recognize it as him speaking to you. But this is how it was. I'm praying, and I have all this internal turmoil, all this angst, all this just, you know, lack of joy. And I'm praying, and all of a sudden, it's all gone. And there's words in place of it. And not just words, just like words with conviction. And you're just like, and you know what he said to me? He said, Daniel, I didn't call you to be successful. What? No. Not the way you think of success. Not the way the world thinks of success. I called you to be faithful. Now, that may not seem like a big thing to you, but for me in that point, in that moment, it rocked my world. It was a paradigm shift. And for the first time in 8 years, I felt peace. Dare I say it, joy. It's like, okay, that's pretty simple. I've been trying to do this on my own and trying to straddle both these. Lord, if you want me to walk through the door, I'll do it. If you want me to go over here, I'll do it. I'll let you worry about that. You got that. I don't know where each one of you are this morning. And some of you may be firmly on this ladder, and thank God if you are. Hang on tight and keep climbing it. Because I promise you, you will experience a fullness, a joy, a sense of peace, a sense of purpose like nobody else can experience. And if you find yourself over on this ladder, you know, I got this, God. I know what, I really know what will fill that hole. And you're climbing this ladder. My prayer for you is that when you come to the end of yourself, after you have strived hard to fill that void and that hole and that hunger, that you'll remember this sermon and you'll remember that only God can fill that God-sized hole. And all those things of the world that you think you hunger for, it's really fruits of the Spirit. It's really things of the Spirit. It's really what God can do. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 19 through 25. You guys recognize this one as the fruits of the Spirit chapter and verse. It says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft. That's all those things people are going to, those dry wells, to try and fill something in their soul that hungers. Rage, selfish ambition, jealousy, fits, discord, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, the like. I warn you, as I did before, those that like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit is love. Give me a double portion. Who wants more love in their life? That's what I thought. Joy? I can always use some joy. Peace, forbearance, kindness. I'm going to belly up to that buffet and get a double helping. I mean, that and bacon. You can't have enough of it, right? Goodness? Who couldn't use more goodness in their life? Faithfulness? Gentleness? You see, only God can fill that need. Now, then there's most of us, and this is where I find myself most of the time, right here in the middle, trying to serve two masters, trying to have both. I hope that if you find yourself in this place and you don't feel satisfied by what the world's offering you, and you feel restless in that, and it feels like you can never be satiated, and at the same time you feel kind of numb, or like you're just going through the motions in your faith walk, or you feel like God's so far away, that you'll take a leap of faith, and that you'll trust that God's got that. He's going to take care of you. And that you'll pursue the things of the Spirit, because it is the only thing that can fill us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the fact you don't give up on us. Even when we run towards the things of the world, Lord, you want so desperately to give us the real. And Lord, so often we try to fill it, that need, that want, that hunger with the counterfeit. Lord, I pray that wherever each one of us are in this space this morning or watching this video, Father, that they'll ask themselves what it is they hunger for, but they'll see what it truly is that they need. And Lord, that they'll realize that only you can fill that space. Lord, may we have the faith and the courage to run to you and to trust you with everything else. For it is in your Son's name that we pray.